Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
And we are back again. Welcome to Real Talk with H3 on the Black Independent Network on the Bashani Radio App. I am Alvin Hodges III, AH3 to most, El Papi Chocolate to some. You can always connect with me and see more of my thoughts and musings at facebook.com/purposed1alvinii. Again, it's facebook.com/purposed1alvinii. And ladies and gentlemen, the mailbag is open. You can send me questions and topic requests to realtalkwithah3@gmail.com. I may choose a few to cover over time. Please check out the archives for more of my great podcast episodes, again, on the Bashani Radio app. And here's what I have for you today. Today, I want to talk about your Uber driver and crypto. Today, I'm going to talk about your Uber driver and crypto. Wow. We are definitely in the bull market with the cryptocurrency world, and it's getting scary even for some of us, the more experienced people. Exciting and a little scary. We're at the point right now where basically your Uber driver is giving you advice on the next great investment and things like that, you know, which is just the natural progression of pretty much any hot market, especially if it's with an asset class that is very, very easy to get in, very, very easy to get out. Can make you money really, really fast if you know what you're doing. I think there's plenty of cautionary tales out there. But I guess I should add to yet a series of cautionary tales. This market is moving so fast and in so many different directions. Each week, there's a new trend. It'll start off with a specific coin. Then it'll go to a specific class of crypto, quote unquote, asset. Asset meaning speculative instrument, of course. Something that has not been sustainably proven of value over time. Something that is very volatile and can crash, but at the same time can rise as rise as fast as it could crash. Why these assets? I've probably covered it in some of my other former currency talk stories or podcasts, but everything hangs on the reestablishment of this economy and the sustainability of the government currency, the fiat currency, the U.S. dollar. And as it stands as of right now, it doesn't seem like there's a resolution in order to or a plan or a means to return that U.S. dollar to a point of retaining sustainable value. So each time that more and more currency is created, mostly now digitally, and added to ledgers to shore up debts, well, eventually, no matter how hard our financial managers try to keep this expansion retained at the top amongst producers and the rich. Eventually, it trickles down into the greater society, and you have more digital dollars chasing a more limited supply of goods and services. Inflation. That one word is at the core essence of why these digital speculative assets, these cryptocurrencies, absorb value very fast, and can shed values very fast. But that's the thing. Even though they shed a lot of value, or can, in a matter of hours and days, they at key points rise very strongly. So you're dealing with an emerging market that's extremely volatile, that represents so much potential, but at the same time has so many pitfalls. I wrote on my Facebook that emerging market like this is deceptively easy, because once you learn a few processes and patterns in order to get this coin, get that coin, hold this coin, hold that coin, swap this coin into another coin, and swap it back or send it to an exchange. Once you learn these little patterns and you experience a growth in one or a few of the coins, it can make you feel like a genius all of a sudden when it comes to investments and financial things, financial assets and digital assets. You're ready for the new world. And you experience it, and you learn the ways to liquidate it and to convert it back into actual fiat currency, and life's good. Until it is not. So, what's up with that not part? Not part can be is only as severe as your level of enthusiasm and lack of planning, basically. You have to have an exit strategy for this market and for your personal life, financial plans or hopes. Let's go with hopes, because you can only hope that a market that is so volatile will go your direction. You may have underlying beliefs and fundamentals, like the whole inflation thing, which is a very logical and legitimate understanding of what's going on, especially if you see hints of it in all things from the shrinking portions in your food, of course, your skyrocketing gas prices, and housing costs, building materials costs, all of those things. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. But sometimes that no-brainer understanding that can be projected over a matter of months and years is deceptively deceptively easy. Until it's not, until despite all of the quote unquote facts in your investing red speculation, market goes against your direction and you are not mentally or emotionally ready, and you do something like sell completely as it's dropping. Because it only makes sense to try to preserve what you speculated and invested upon, which starts you back at ground zero again. My thoughts on it is this: yes, I would always admit that a market such as this in its current incarnation right now, even with all of the attention and with all of the people moving very fast into this market, asking questions about assets and things like that, even with all of that, it is still a speculative market. Its asset class is not absolutely, positively needed by our economy at this point. But in light of all of the pressures and strains across the economy, and also the rapid acceleration and consolidation of those who have ample resources to invest, we're talking millions and billions here. In the light of all of that, it's difficult to keep an eye on the reality and the what ifs. So what's the answer? I would say that the answer is strategy, but I have people that believe that you can't put strategy around what's deemed luck. And on that point, I would disagree. You can put strategy around luck. You can devise a way in which the odds of luck are more in your favor of outcome than against it. But in order to do that, what I think often happens is that you have to go through a cycle of experiencing an extreme boom and an extreme bust. And in between those is a lot of small gems that can help you make such a highly volatile market into a much more manageable market. And it doesn't take much, but it does take understanding of several small things here and there in order to make your strategy efficient in getting in and in getting out. And this is one of the things that most newbies or most aggressive personality types do not know. One thing for certain is what I see out in the market. There's a lot of binary thinking. Oh, I got to get into this right now. Oh, I got to get into this, that right now. Oh, I need to put this much in. I need to take all of it out. Very, very binary, if then, you know, yes or no type of understanding and handling these assets. And I would argue to the effect that actually the most value that you can capture in this market is learning to take proceeds, take money off the table when the market's really, really hot, but in a percentage, in a comparable percentage instead of a whole percentage. Yes, taking those things off in a comparable percentage, you know, somewhere between 10-30% when you have an explosive upside in the asset of, you know, 200% or more, doubling your initial investment, things like that. Of course, this is financial opinion and not paid trained financial advice, but financial opinion from familiarity and experience with this market. So, yes, you can skim off some and leave the rest to hopefully rise. But if it falls, you had already captured value out of a game, which you can't be mad at that at any point. So, yes, binary thinking, impulsive thinking, probably loses more money for the speculator or investor in question than it does to preserve the value of their initial investment or grow it. That is basically truly the biggest thing. So what's going to happen? A lot of newbies are going to learn some very, very important lessons. How they interpret those lessons and what they do afterwards could mean something positive for them, could mean negative. You could get various types of people. People who take a hit, major hit, and just learn to build back from that, but don't feel necessarily burned or scorned by the market or the propaganda flowing around the market with all these quote-unquote influencers. Again, back to the chapter, you know, when your Uber driver has become a crypto enthusiast and crypto trader, yeah, it's a very, very key indicator that we're starting or we're expanding a bubble. That really is the maker between the winners and the losers. And there are winners and losers in this game. It is a battle of wills between those who believe in the possibilities and futures of the industry and those who do not. So I just wanted to share my thoughts about that. I'm definitely an enthusiast, believe in the possibilities in the future of the tech, but I really keep myself from being overly excited and naive that this is still a phase of the speculative market. Even with all of the millionaires, billionaires, business people, investors in other asymmetric markets, this is still a very, very positive time and a very exciting time, but it still has to be handled with a sense of reality and a sense of possibility that this market correct itself pretty much at any time, especially the more excited people are. And that's my take on it. This has been AH3, Real Talk with AH3. Hope you're getting something out of what I'm sharing. I'm pretty sure you are. And until next time, peace.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.